The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you just a little while longer. I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. In these days, as we move toward the celebration of Pentecost, we are following the Acts of the Apostles, which is the overall description of the church coming into being. It was written by St. Luke, the author of the third gospel. And it's his account of the church coming to life. In this portion this morning, the first reading, we read about Paul and Barnabas and finishing their first missionary journey. Paul had four distinct journeys. They were to different territories, and they were to form the church and provide encouragement for them, this new fledgling church that was coming into being. They retrace their steps. They've gone on the missionary journey, and they come back through the towns and places that they had been, encouraging them all and inviting them to be aware there will be challenges to your faith. You will find extraordinary challenges as you journey along, but don't be disheartened, because God is with you. The God that we've proclaimed, he's still with you. So it becomes a huge time for the church, because going hand in hand with the first missionary journey was also the proclamation of the gospel to the Gentiles. That was all non-Jews. Now this becomes a serious church. Traditionally, for all Jews, Jesus being a faithful Jew, Paul being a faithful Jew, staying that way all of his life, and remaining faithful to it. But now the Christian church is being formed by them and by the apostles, and everyone is invited to be a part. And so we see the church flourishing under the care of the apostles, and most of all, under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. That's the important piece. The gospel brings us to the Last Supper. The Last Supper, Judas has just left. Jesus has invited him to do what he's got to do. And so he goes out and leaves their company, and Jesus is left alone with the 11. And it's time for a little heart-to-heart. He has an intimate conversation with them, and he said, "Friends, I'm going to be gone. You're going to be taking care of this. This is your church." And he says, "Here's how I am inviting you to do this." He invites them to be fruitful. Top of the line, being fruitful. What are the fruits that we show as a result of our relationship with him? Where do the fruits show in my life? In what ways do they manifest themselves? Bear fruit and bear witness to me. And he's very clear how this is to happen. It's the clearest that Jesus is at, because he's preparing to depart this world, saying, "Pay attention to me, because these are important things." It becomes a mantra for all of the following generations who choose to belong to the apostolic community of Christ. The mantra is, "I give you a new commandment, love one another." Now, in truth, that was not a new commandment. It was what he had been teaching and practicing and celebrating with them all the way along. Indeed, of itself, it was just a reiteration of what he was doing and what he was showing them and how he was living in relationship with them from the outset. In fact, we're all so familiar with that commandment, we could quote it rather easily. You know, we'd be rather quick sometimes to help other people. You know, you got to love one another, right? But for ourselves, we know it and interiorize it. But in reality, we know the commandment well, love one another. But the newness of this commandment was in the very next piece. It's a new commandment because it gives it beef. It gives it power that we haven't seen heretofore in the gospel. He's saying, this is the way I want you to love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. It's a powerful shift. Fundamentally, he's saying, hey, if you don't know how much I love you and how much I care for you and what my life is about, then you're really going to have difficulty. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples. It proceeds from him, not from us. It proceeds from an awareness of what it means to have a relationship with him. And that changes everything. That is not just loving one another out of our own limited cache of love, but it's loving one another out of a sense of being totally aware how loved and valued we are by him. This sets a new standard. That's why it is a new commandment. As I have loved you, in other words, knowing him deeply in our own lives, then we've got something to offer one another. And he says, this task is accomplished only through the power that I'm giving you, only through the power of his final gift in the world, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of our own volition, there are none of us who could do it, but in the power of the Spirit, everyone can do it. Everyone can love because we know and understand and appreciate and accept the power of his Spirit, that gift, that transforming gift, to know that we really love by him. Only if I accept that gift of the Holy Spirit can I truly begin to follow that invitation. In many times and many places, Christians have gone after worldly success, sometimes quite unaware of his invitation. And indeed, many have had great success in terms of worldly affairs, but some have indeed, in going about it, found great success, but the only success or fruitfulness that we need is an appropriate response to him. And some have forgotten that what the Master expects of us, fruit and love. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples, and love is the key. Love makes us instruments of God's providence, his care. In fact, we become the kind of channels through which other people will really know God. You know people in your life who really know him? And you know what it's like to be around them? There's a peace and an integration and a sense of belief and truth and love and care. It's pretty stout, and we are to be those channels. That's what he was telling his apostles at the supper. Apostle means to be sent. That's what we are, apostles as well, sent out to proclaim his love for us. Our world is starved for that kind of affection. The real understanding of God. There's no doubt about it. Writing about his experience in Auschwitz, Elie Wiesel, the great author, says, "The Germans tried to get us to forget relatives and friends, to think only of ourselves." And they said, "You will only survive this experience by taking care of yourself and taking care of your own needs." And Elie Wiesel says, "They told us that every day. Every day, every night, they told us, don't worry about family, friends, or anything else. Just take care of you." But Elie Wiesel says, what happened was exactly the opposite. Those who live only for themselves had less chance of surviving. We know it through many people who did survive. Those who live for themselves had less chance of surviving, while those who live for a parent, a brother, a spouse, a sister, a friend, an ideal, had a much better chance of surviving simply because of that hope, that ideal, that belief, that trust. It was through what they gave that they survived, not by taking care of themselves. Selfishness keeps us shut in, and it confines us, it erects barriers, it builds walls between us and others. What frees us from captivity is loving others. What frees us from the captivity of selfishness is love. Love is the only thing that frees us from our prison of selfishness. And it all begins with an awareness that he has first loved us. An American journalist, one day observing Mother Teresa treating a man who had gangrene, observed her and this love and attention and affection she gave to that man. And he said, within earshot of Mother Teresa, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she said, hearing the comment, she said, "Even I wouldn't do it for $1 million. But she said, "I do it because he loves me and I love him." I think she really understood that gospel. That's what he invites us to. That's what the Last Supper was about. It was a very powerful commandment. Love one another, not out of your own cache of love or your personal experience. Love one another as I have loved you.